Yeah. Welcome back, everybody, to Hoops HD. This is our Monday evening Hoops HD report, recording it here live on tape delay the evening of Monday, November 28th, 11 to 9 p.m. Eastern. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood, joined up top here by David Dorman and David Griggs.
Yes.
Two Davids up top, the two Johns below, John Titel and John Stalica below me. And we've got a lot to, well, I don't know if we have much to get to. You do. The way this actually works is, well, before we do these shows on, you know, in the morning, on Monday mornings, I send an email out to everybody, say, hey, who's available to be on and what do you want to discuss? Well, Griggs, you responded that there is, we don't need any topics at all for tonight. So on that note, thanks for joining us, everybody.
Yeah, and we'll thanks for joining. Yeah, it was a good, well, it was a busy week. If you, I don't think most people outside that aren't college basketball diehards realize this. November is pretty much the busiest month, and we're winding it down. The rest of it isn't busy at all. But holy crap, was that a week? I mean, you get through that, and you're more exhausted than you are at the end of championship week, almost. What a week.
Well, I think there's more. there are more games these 2 weeks than there are championship weeks.
Oh, absolutely,
because
yeah.
Everybody that loses keeps playing, unlike championship week.
And the games mean something. You know, like, it could be a seventh-place game, but it's still a game that could – add or take away from your resume. And I think by the time you get to the end of this, you feel like you've seen everybody and it's like, okay, bring on March.
And well, we had some upset winners, quite a few upset winners in these tournaments. We had teams that went 0-3. We had multiple teams that surprisingly went 0-3 in this this week. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and pull up our screen share here in half a second. If I can get it to work, we'll cross our fingers on that. We never really know. But we'll go ahead and pull up the standings. And as I do, Titel, let me start with you here, because I want to start it off in the American with the new number one team, unanimous number one team of the nation, the Houston Cougars. I don't know that they really were in any of these events, but they benefited from everyone else losing these events. I'll put it that way.
Yes, that's fair. And I do love undefeated teams, so certainly good to recognize them. It's been literally, I think, 4 decades since they've been ranked number one. And as you can see by the metrics, they are legit. They certainly deserve credit for beating the Ducks last weekend, although I got to say, the Ducks are 3-4, so I don't know how much credit exactly to give them.
One of those 0-3 teams I just discussed, right?
Yes, and when you're beating Kent State 49-44, I have serious questions about your offense. But they have not given up more than 56 points in a single game this year, either at home or neutral site or away. So I think that they will take care of business on Tuesday against Norfolk State, and then a fantastic game against St. Mary's in Fort Worth next Saturday. We'll see if they are legit, because that could be their toughest competition to date.
Yeah, that'll be the game of the day coming up next Saturday. We'll get to that in a minute here. But Griggs, I know you were watching that Houston-Kent State game, and that upset almost happened, which may be more a testament to how good Kent State is, I think.
I think it is. And, you know, at the end of the year, are we going to look at that game and think, oh man, that was Houston at their best? No, but it wasn't like that. It was more or less, I think I was more impressed with Kent State than I was disappointed in Houston. And the margin was 49-44, but a lot of that opened up late once it got down to the free throw situation. With less than a minute to go, Kent State had a lead. So, you know, props to them, but this is the thing about Oregon. They have not played up to their ceiling. They didn't play up to their ceiling at Oregon either in their win there, but they've still managed to win all their games. And I think the real testament at this point in the year to a team's potential is if they can play, if they can go out there and bring their C game and still win against good teams, then can you imagine what they're going to look like when they're firing on all cylinders? I don't think we've come anywhere close to seeing Houston's best effort yet this year. This is a phenomenally talented team.
When we look at the rest of Houston's league, though, Dorman, you know, I have seen, you know, we had some high hopes about Tulane heading into the season. They even struggled tonight with Louisiana Monroe. They have not been the team that we thought they'd be. They lost to Western Kentucky this past week, too.
Yeah, this conference doesn't look great top to bottom. Central Florida, one of those losses this week was to Miami by one or two right at the buzzer. Nothing, no shame in that. Miami's good. I think they'll be in there in the tournament come March. Memphis, did I say already, lost at the buzzer out in Florida at Disney World to Seton Hall on a buzzer beater off the backboard. So it, Memphis
to a very mediocre Seton Hall team also. Yeah,
exactly. To a retooling Seton Hall program. So this conference, Cincinnati, not up to Cincinnati standards. Wichita State on a down year. I was high on Tulane, not impressed yet. This is going to be Houston in a runaway, and I don't see another team in the tournament.
Yes, Stalik, I can ask you.
Dorman.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, I was going to say, Mick Cronin took the standards for Cincinnati with him out to UCLA.
Yes, he did.
Yeah. And Sleek, I was going to ask you about Cincinnati also. They picked up only one win out of Maui. Now, the loss is very respectable, Ohio State and Arizona. But only team they beat out there was Louisville, who, you know, is, you know, probably a D3 team right now. So I don't know that I'm seeing it out of Cincinnati either, are you?
I think that's a Louisville team that would probably struggle to beat Spalding within the city. But as it was, they got a spanking by the Buckeyes. But if we're looking ahead to the Bearcats, I'd probably be looking ahead to Sunday because, Bryant, that is a very winnable game for the Bulldogs right there. I'd be on full upset alert for that one.
Yeah, Bryant picking up the win over Syracuse. We'll get to here in a minute this past week in a bit of a slap fest.
Great comment from Ty Tilt. Louisville would struggle to beat the five of us here in the chat.
Agreed.
Yeah.
This rest of the upcoming schedule, I think really the only other game, you know, you even circle it all is Temple LaSalle, just because it's part of a Big Five doubleheader coming up Wednesday night, a pair of games that game will be at the Palestra followed by a Penn game. So a little Big Five action here coming up Wednesday. Other than that, though, really the only game we're circling, I think, is that Houston St. Mary's game that Tytel already mentioned coming up here.
The only other team that kind of makes me sit up and say, well, this team has a bit of a ceiling, and even they have a really ugly wart, is Wichita State, a little bit better than expected, taking on an in-state foe on Saturday that's also a little bit better than expected. We'll get to K-State a little bit later on. But if you were to ask me, like, who is the team that you think might have the potential to get inside the bubble or at least onto it, what about Wichita? Has anyone else sort of been impressed with them, at least in comparison to everyone else in this league? All right. Everybody at once.
I think they're top three or four in this conference, but that's not saying much. I have a question for you guys. Is Houston going to be in the same situation as Gonzaga? They have a few tough out of conference. I know they got St. Mary's this week and they got Alabama. I believe Virginia's on there, but after that, it's going to be Roll City through this conference. Are they going to be ready for March?
Quickly, I got their schedule up there on the left side of the screen there, and you can see Alabama is a home game. Virginia is the big test on the road, and then you got the conference. That's it.
To answer your question, Dave, I don't even think it's comparable to the West Coast Conference. The West Coast Conference has San Francisco, has St. Mary's, who's not just a tournament team, but probably wearing white in around the 64. I'm struggling to find a smattering of NIT teams out of this. I think it's Roll City. I mean, they're going to be so undermatched. This is sort of almost like the Vegas team from 30 years ago. I mean, I'm only 24 years old, but I heard stories from the 1990-91 UNLV team that they averaged 28 points a game. That was their average margin of victory in conference play. That might be what we're shaping up for here.
Maybe it's time to turn to a better conference.
Good one to start off with, Chad. Really.
Well, hey, I start off with a great team. And let's not talk about another very good team, Ty Teldon. It is your Arizona Wildcats coming off the championship in Maui this past week here, sitting up to number four in the nation right now. Number one Temple, according to KenPom as well. Great start for your team.
Couldn't be prouder of the Cats and Tommy Lloyd. I knew that they had a good chance to win Maui, but to go out and beat these amazing teams, not so much Cincinnati, who scored 93 against us, but San Diego State and then slipping by Creighton by 2 points. They seem legit. The offense is amazing. 45% from behind the arc is third in the nation. 67% inside the arc is number one in the nation. So the offense is nothing to worry about, obviously. And I knew it was going to be Tubelis, but to see Kerr Creasa getting a triple-double a couple weeks ago, Omar Ballo going from like nothing last year to averaging a double-double this year and being unstoppable from the field, shooting 77%. I have very high hopes for this team. They're going to be tested very much. They get Indiana in the Vegas in a couple weeks, and then Tennessee comes to town a week after that. So plenty of non-conference tests for this team, but I'm a believer.
Yeah, and they're going to be tested, Tytel, but I mean, they've been tested a lot already. Out of all the teams that we've seen so far, I think that their run, minus the game against Cincinnati, they had to run over two legit top 20 teams that are probably even better than 20th. That's an understatement for how good San Diego State and Creighton is. So while they're going to be tested, was that their toughest test of the year? And they've already passed it.
Indiana, that game caught up in Indiana.
I don't think Indiana is as good as Creighton.
Tennessee game, but they get it at home.
Yeah, but the Tennessee game's at home. Tennessee is excellent, and they're not playing them in the month of March. Keep in mind, very tough game to win when it's not March.
Tennessee a lot better away from home. At home, they lose to Colorado. So.
Right, yeah. The game is in Nashville.
Dorman, what I like about the Pac-12 more than the American is I think there's a little bit more beyond it.
Obviously, besides everything, minus Cal.
Besides UCLA, though, I mean, we've got to give a little bit of shout out for Washington coming off of winning their event as well here with a nice win over St. Mary's.
That was a great game, actually, the Washington St. Mary's. Washington came back from like 6 or 7 down with 5-6 minutes to go. Washington impressed me more than I actually thought they would. They played real well against St. Mary's, and they hung in there. They got some bigs that are young. They'll work. They'll get better. Again, UCLA will be fine. Utah actually showed some life and then had a bad loss. Again, I'm not real high in the conference. I know they picked up some wins, a lot against junk. Oregon State lost to Portland State, and Oregon looked terrible. Outside of UCLA and Arizona, I'm not real high in the conference. USC to be determined. The rest is junk.
USC to be determined. Arizona State sitting at 6-1 with an event championship, but yeah. Sleeka, I mean – they beat Alcorn State. It's going to look like a 22-point. They played with them. Alcorn State was in that game until about 5 minutes left yesterday, I thought.
Arizona State has padded their record against some of the SWAC teams. Well, not named Texas Southern, but that win against Michigan is still going to hold some weight for the Sun Devils, as much as Tytel isn't going to want to admit that.
Sold some weight, but I just am not seeing a team here that I think is going to be able to hold up, and that may end up looking like a fluke win at the end of the day. We are getting into conference play here, not tonight, but starting Wednesday with USC Cal game. And so other than the Seattle Washington game that's coming up later on this evening, conference play getting underway. So we love conference play. It's going to start to get a little bit exciting, although I don't know if there's a key matchup here, Arizona at Utah, then hosting Cal this week. That should be a pretty easy, I think.
Yeah.
You would have thought UCLA Oregon Sunday would be more circling, but I don't know if it is anymore with the way Oregon has played.
I agree, Chad. I thought that would be a big game, a showdown Sunday for the conference, but Oregon is not really flying. So we'll see if they can put it together basically at home this past weekend in Portland. UCLA will be ready.
Let's jump over to the Big 12, which has your defending national champion that could have been an argument had they won, beaten Tennessee on Friday in the championship game of their event. Which was that was a semifinal, actually. I'm sorry. That was a semifinal of the ESPN event there. But either way, I think there could have been an argument they should have been number one over Houston had they won the event, but they didn't. Let's start with it there, though, Tytel. Any cause for concern with Kansas with Tennessee kind of taking it to them in the second half of that game?
Some. I mean, neutral site against a top 20, if not top 10 team is nothing to panic about. The metrics seem pretty solid. I don't think they're going to be worried about Texas Southern next week. Tonight. And then they ease into conference play with a, tough little non-conference schedule. Seton Hall at undefeated Missouri and hosting the aforementioned Indiana Hoosiers to start December. So they should finish off November strong, but they'll be tested in December.
Yeah, and just to correct there, that was the championship game. That was the battle for Atlantis. I had my events a little bit confused there. But they also, they struggled. It needed overtime to beat Wisconsin. NC State was right with them. Now, these are quality programs, but, you know, I mean, are they – I don't know yet on them. Maybe the jury's still out on them. And Dorman, maybe the jury's not out on this Texas team, still number two in the nation.
To me, Texas is great. I think they are for real. I don't think – I know it was a home game against Gonzaga, not one of Gonzaga's great years, but that was no fluke. Texas got a great home court advantage now. I love that new building with the kids right on the court. And I think Texas has a phenomenal season coming ahead. They got some great out-of-conference games coming up. I know Illinois in New York is one. And I think I got right now as it sits, I think Texas is better than Kansas.
All right. Griggs, one of the things when I look at the entire Big 12, though, is I look at these rankings columns here.
Yeah.
Now, they could, we include teams beyond number 25. That's just where they would be had you just ranked them all the way out on this list here. But as you can see, everybody other than Oklahoma State received votes this week in both polls. Well, if we were doing building the tournament right now, we might have all 10 Big 12 teams in there.
Yeah, and Oklahoma State, again, off to a somewhat disappointing start, but they could really kick it into gear. There's a lot of season left. One of the teams, I know we touched on this, TCU also winning an event. It wasn't as big as the ones.
Nice one over Iowa.
And after sort of playing with their food and piddling around in home bye games, almost losing to Arkansas Pine Bluff and then losing to Northwestern State, if you watch that Iowa game, it's like, all right, this is the TCU we expected. They're here now. It took them a minute to wake up, but they're awake. They slept through their alarm, but here they are. And this is a dangerous team. This is every bit the team that we thought it would be, I think. They just didn't show it the first couple of weeks.
Right. On top of that, Salika, Oklahoma wins their event. That was the ESPN events with, you know, maybe they didn't have the toughest of competition, but they won the event.
Well, they won the event, but the only probably notable win they would have had out of that bunch, probably Seton Hall. The jury is going to be out on the Ole Miss right here, but don't tell me Nebraska was a big win for the Sooners.
Versus Big Red.
I guess we should also – I want to throw a quick shout out here also at Titella. West Virginia is a team I did not believe in heading into the season. Really dominated Florida yesterday and was at the fifth-place game in one of the Phil Knight brackets there.
Yeah, when your only loss is to Purdue on a neutral site, I think you're doing quite well. They destroyed my Quakers, but that's not to be unexpected. I'll go to Stalika, though. Do you think that Xavier will pull the upset, or is it an upset on Saturday?
Probably going to be more of a 50-50 matchup between the teams. I'll give Xavier the edge being at CentOS.
I think what would happen if West Virginia was ranked a bit higher, like if they were in the 20s or even the teens, Xavier would have a lead with about, you know, 4 or 5 minutes to go, and then they'd lose the game.
Here is the upcoming schedule. And what we've got is the Big 12 Big East Challenge starting this week here with the Baylor Marquette beginning Tuesday night's games. K-State off to a 6-0 start with a couple of decent wins, including over LSU, a little surprisingly there. They're at Butler here Wednesday. We've got huge Georgetown-Texas Tech game that everyone yeah. Seton Hall, we've got some stinkers here too, but
Baylor Gonzaga.
That was the other one. If you don't get Peacock streaming service, you're gonna have to get it for Friday night. It's streaming only on Peacock.
Oh, it's streaming only.
Baylor Gonzaga Friday night, though, one of the premier games.
How did Peacock land that? That's NBC.
Yep,
they're not NBC. Contracted with either. Peacock get that one?
Maybe they just have a deal with the Sanford Pentagon.
It's a neutral court game, so it didn't fall anybody's home. I don't know. I don't know too much about the way the team
practices.
All I can tell you is it's a neutral court game, and yeah. So be it.
Thursday night, Creighton at Texas will be fantastic.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, there's – God, That's a great one.
And huge chance for Oklahoma State. They can go to UConn and get a win. That something would have all 10 teams with votes next week, which I don't know that I've ever seen. I've ever seen every team in a conference getting votes in the polls. We could have it next week. Let's take to the other half of this Big 12 Big East challenge that we're going to be getting this week, though, and go over to the Big East and this UConn team, Griggs, that is looking pretty darn good so far. I hate to admit it, but they won their Phil Knight event.
They did. They beat some good teams along the way. I mean, let's pull up their profile.
They beat Alabama and Iowa State too.
Yeah.
After a bad Oregon team, but yeah.
Yeah, and Oregon, again, I can't help but think that they have the talent that eventually they might wake up and turn it around. They're certainly well-coached. But Iowa State is – I mean, I know that that's not a win that excites a lot of people. This is a team that beat North Carolina, I think. That is a quality win in an Iowa State team that's playing really well. And no losses. Again, you got a lot of home bye games there, but they were tested by three quality opponents, and they look great in all of them.
These next two games, Oklahoma State at Florida, these are huge. I mean, really, it's because it's really the rest of their non-conference schedule, too, if you look at it.
Yeah, and then they get in the Big East, and they get some breathers once they get in the conference play, which is sort of an upside-down way of looking at things. But the Big East not exactly performing well. And one of the points, Xavier had the win against Florida. But other than that, if you look at any team outside of Connecticut or Creighton, none of them have really beaten anybody that's a solid NIT team. The Johnnies have the win over Syracuse. And I reiterate, nobody has beaten anyone that's a solid NIT team.
I think you got Xavier's win over Florida. I think you mentioned that. But I mean, really, at Titel, I don't know that I've ever seen it here, but I'm looking at the standings as they are right now, and I get no one's played conference games yet. But below Georgetown, below DePaul, I see Villanova. I mean, how shocking is this that Nova is just sitting here 2-5?
It is shocking. You're right about that, and the metrics mostly bear that out. I mean, the one thing is the strength of record, as you see, 271. It's one thing if you're losing to like Oregon and Michigan State, which they are. But they're also losing to Portland and Temple, and like they're hanging around. I think Portland was the only team to beat them by double digits, which is a separate issue. They're still making free throws. They're having some major three-point shooting problems. I believe Justin Moore is still out with his injuries. So like, I don't know where their scoring is going to come from. They got problems, and I don't know if Kyle Neptune can figure it out this year because he's got Oklahoma coming up next weekend.
I hope he's given a little bit of time here and that he doesn't get run out of town for one bad season. But, I mean, just the way they've got this start has been so horrendous for Villanova. They've got to get bounced back in conference play. And here is the upcoming schedule, Dorman. You can see, again, we've got these Big 12, Big East games here. A few other games, I kind of know, but I think it's the Big 12, Big East games are the key ones on this schedule here.
Yeah, absolutely. We mentioned when we looked at the other conference on the Big 12, we noted the big ones. Kansas State at Butler. Will Kansas State be tested here by an average to weak Butler team? But it is on the road. We'll see Kansas State's for real. I look forward to the Wisconsin and Marquette every year. That's a great in-state rivalry. So yes. We'll see Saturday if that's a good one.
Providence, Rhode Island, also another great rivalry there.
Another great rivalry. So we'll see some good games this week, although the schedule, gets a little less of great games. There are definitely some solid games here and there, and there should be some big games for the Big East. We'll see if a few of their teams can get it going here before conference play.
Let's turn to another good conference. How about let's jump over to the Big Ten, another conference where you see teams everywhere with top 25 votes in it. And Salika, let me start with you. The Big Ten, as we record this, is in game number 2 of the ACC Big Ten Challenge. The warm-up night tonight, although it did start off with a loss for the conference as Virginia Tech took care of, who was it? I have to scroll down to remember, Minnesota pretty easily.
Minnesota.
Yeah.
Well, that would be the undercard right there.
Yeah. Well, even more undercard is the Pitt Northwestern game we're watching right now. But
Northwestern just one loss on the year.
And we were looking at in And we were looking at Indiana's potentially the team to beat in the Big Ten right here. But thanks to one little weekend out in Portland, Purdue got decisive wins over West Virginia, Gonzaga, and Duke. And now the narrative changes drastically here.
Yeah.
I mean, let's not forget, Purdue, I think, was also number one last year, at least until they went into the JMA and lost to Rutgers.
John, you have the unequivocal gift of understatement. One little weekend, you know, wins over West Virginia and Gonzaga and everybody. Yeah, I mean, that's a season's worth of wins almost that Purdue had Duke. in 72 hours.
Not only wins, but blowout wins over Gonzaga and Duke. I'm so impressed by what I saw from Purdue.
Me too.
I forget. John, did you give them a one seed today?
They were my number one overall team.
Okay, right, yeah. And it's warranted. Look what they did. Holy crap.
Like Chad said, they ran those schools out of the building. Duke and Gonzaga weren't even close. I mean, they were rolling.
Yeah, and we look even beyond that, though, to Titel, we've got teams like take a look at like a team like even, you know, Wisconsin, a nice win over USC and Dayton. I mean, that's the team that's sitting in 11th on the screen right here.
Yeah, I'll go a couple of seeds lower than that, Michigan State. I mean, we're talking about a team that their two losses are neutral site to Gonzaga and Alabama. They've beaten Kentucky and Villanova and Oregon. I mean, like, what else do you want this team to do?
Yeah, and I just think there is so much depth here. I mean, Dorman, we didn't even mention Ohio State. It bounced back to not only beat Cincinnati, but also beat Texas Tech in the consolation bracket. Now, did pick up two wins out there in Maui.
Yeah, looked better than I actually thought. The Texas Tech was a nice win. Nothing wrong with the way Ohio State is playing. Northwestern, I know I'll take it. Northwestern has looked good. They actually had a chance to beat Auburn, came up just short, or they're 5-1 right now, or they would have been 6-0. Michigan, I know, stubbed their toe against ASU. I think in a few months it's going to be an outlier. Iowa had one bad day against TCU. Illinois looks great. Penn State has looked good. You know my feelings on Maryland. They were the team of the week to me last week. This conference is strong. I was wrong when I had knocked them in the preseason. The Big Ten is loaded.
It is, and I think we were all wrong. I was not expecting this, but it isn't that. It isn't just the bloated records. It's the quality of the teams that everybody in this league has beaten. Northwestern, I mean, you just crapped on them a minute ago, calling them an undercard, but they were 1 point away from beating Auburn. They win that game. Yeah. Maybe they're in the top 25 now.
an amazing 43-42 game. That was just
it was quite a half. A 40-minute half.
Oh, okay. So we're still waiting for the second half of that game. Yeah. Is that where we are? The upcoming schedule here is the rest of the ACC Big Ten Challenge here. We've got to make a note here. This is the final year of the ACC Big Ten Challenge. It is also going to be the final year of the Big 12 SEC Challenge. Both those challenge series are going to be going away after this season. We will have a new ACC SEC Challenge next year, but ESPN no longer with the rights to the Big Ten. And ESPN... And you're not allowed to play non-conference games unless ESPN owns the rights to both conferences. So that's the way I think it works.
The only way we can have a challenge.
Likewise, the Gavitt games between the Big Ten and the Big East are also probably going to expire in a year or two.
Well, I don't know, though, because those are both Fox. Fox owns both of those.
Yeah, that one might stick around.
They are Fox, but like I've heard, all indications are they're not going to be renewed.
Really? It was an 8-year deal, was it not, Stalica? And... I guess they've been popular. Like, we've seen some really good games.
Well, I'm not saying they're going to cancel after this year, but they'll just let it expire.
Right, yeah.
Okay. There are the huge games coming up here in the challenge, though. The Virginia-Michigan game coming up tomorrow night. You can definitely circle that. The Ohio State-Duke game Wednesday. Michigan State-Notre Dame is one I'm going to be watching. Purdue, at Florida State, forget that. But North Carolina-Indiana is another really good one. I think, you know, beyond that, then we get into some conference play over the weekend with, you know, starting on Friday night with the Illinois-Maryland game. And we also have the Wisconsin-Marquette game. And by the way, Grace, we throw in Michigan and Kentucky on Sunday as well. It's like, going to be a fun week of this conference.
Live from London.
Yeah, live from London, because I guess they couldn't find a venue that was, closer and available.
Well, they had to make up for some of them Army and Princeton last weekend. So.
Yeah.
That's a loaded schedule. yeah. It's a loaded schedule, but they still managed to fit in STFU and Ohio State in there somewhere.
Yeah, it's possible slash probable that England will be playing their World Cup round of 16 game that day. I wonder how many people in London will be watching Kentucky, Michigan.
I'll go one up though. Even if they're not playing soccer, or whatever the sport that is, I don't even follow. I don't think anybody will be the game anyhow. So
And let's see what Rutgers is made of going to Miami Wednesday night.
Yeah, huge. They right now it looks like McConnell did come back for their last game. Yeah. I'm hearing that Paul Mulcahy should be back as well. Both guys missed the Temple game, their only loss. So, and they are two of their three key players of the season, along with Murray. So, I'm excited. I think Rutgers might be able to pick it up, and then get Indiana at home on Saturday. So, big week for the Scarlet Knights. Let's go over to the other half of the ACC Big Ten Challenge. Oh, wait. Now, that's for the Under the Radar show, isn't it?
Yes.
Tytel, let's start with the good ACC team. And how about the Virginia Cavaliers?
I saw them with my own eyes beat Baylor and Illinois back-to-back. They look very impressive, especially even if there wasn't the football player tragic murder scenario going on and hanging over everything. Tony Bennett's got his guys looking good. Five starters back, fourth in the nation with 45% from behind the arc. I think they're going to beat Michigan on Tuesday, especially if we get the ASU caliber of Michigan. But if there's a game to pick this year, when Houston comes to town December 17th, like, stop what you're doing and watch that game. It might be ugly because these are two defensive, slow tempo teams, but it is going to be a battle.
Right. It is. And Dorman, Duke and North Carolina are both still in the rankings, but North Carolina back-to-back losses out of the Phil Knight.
I know when you were ranked number one in the country, it's surprising to see two losses. I agree with you, but those are going to be good losses when this is all said and done. Those are two really good teams. I'm surprised with Virginia Tech. Mike Young off to another great start. This team is good. I think solid.
I agree with you. Virginia Tech or Miami, those are your fourth and fifth teams of this conference besides the big ones. But Sleeka, I've got to ask you, I don't know that I've ever looked at a Power Five conference at this point of the season after Thanksgiving and seen two teams combine for a 1-13 record in the same power conference. And I see that at the bottom of these standings here.
Pretty much these are two teams. Well, you can also throw in Boston College, Pitt, and Georgia Tech. And you have teams.
But they at least have winning record. Those three at least have winning records right now.
Oh, I think they've probably 1-7 and 0-6. They probably struggle to finish 500 in the A Sun, but yeah, Louisville and Florida State, that's going to be quite the pillow fight in about a week and a half.
Yeah, Griggs, I just, it's, you know, it's, it, especially with Florida State, who we thought was going to be good this year. They've just, it's fallen apart there. It's completely fallen apart.
Louisville, we kind of knew that they had hit the mountain. I think it's surprising that they've been this pitiful to lose four home bye games and then just get their doors absolutely blown off. This is a team that likely will not finish in the top 300 of the net. It's surprising that they're that bad, but we thought they'd be bad. Florida State is just surprising because I'd have thought that, like, for us, the NIT may have been what we expected, but the NCAA was not outside the realm of possibility. So for them to be this poor, and just to be clear, they're losing at home to bad teams by a lot.
And look at these upcoming schedules. I got Florida State on the right there, Purdue and Virginia, the next two games. Good luck for that pillow fight. But Louisville especially, if they can't win at Florida State, Tytel, Florida A&M December 17th might be circled as their only possible win in the entire season.
Are you sure they're going to beat FAMU? I don't know.
A 359 KenPom team. I mean, yeah, that'd be even worse than anything they've done so far. But
look at their RPI, 332.
Jeez. Yeah. This is, J&G has a bit. Their strength of record, 357. There's only five teams worse than them in the strength of record of the entire country. That is... Wow. It's just wow. Anyhow, quick look at the upcoming schedule. We looked at a lot of these games already as part of the ACC Big Ten Challenge. Then getting into some conference play again coming up this weekend for a lot of these teams. I guess, Griggs, we didn't even talk about Syracuse and what they did. Maybe we got to give them a couple seconds for
3-3. Two of those three losses, home bye games to a decent Colgate team, and to be fair, a pretty good Bryant team. But I mean, to really get
what the Bryant Syracuse game?
Yeah. Well, the two with about 10 minutes to go, I think the two teams exchanged pleasantries and
exchange slaps,
which resulted in a few players being ejected. But Bryant still gets it done even after that.
And Jim Boeheim having words for the Bryant head coach afterwards too. So you can check all that out.
I missed this.
They were just yelling at each other on the court as they exited the court. But anyhow, you know, there's the upcoming schedule. Let's jump over to the SEC though. And when we look at the SEC, we do have three undefeated teams left. And Tytel, if you told me Auburn would be undefeated right now, I would have believed you. Missouri and Mississippi State being the other two is kind of a shock though, isn't it?
Stunning. I still don't know how
Dennis
Gates is doing it at Missouri, considering like he's a track record of winning at other schools, but to come right in and have this team dominating inside, 64% inside the arc, it's third in the nation. And he's getting killed at the free throw line of all things. Luckily, it doesn't matter yet because they're winning by double digits.
But look who they have not left home, and they've only left everybody is 156 KenPom. Those are KenPom ratings, not net ratings. We don't have net yet, but everyone's 156 or worse in KenPom.
We only have like a couple weeks to pump up that game against Kansas on December 10th.
Okay, well, pull up the net ratings, Chad. Go ahead.
Just
pull it up real quick. I want to show you that we've got. See the net. It's a completely different resume when you do that. See, it's look at that.
Tier one anyways.
Tier one.
But how Mississippi State though, Dorman, you know, Marquette and the Utah wins are decent. The Akron win is even decent. Those are all neutral court wins.
They are. They're solid. We'll see if Utah and Marquette pan out. As of right now, though, I give a lot of credit to Mississippi State. A new coach who came on over from New Mexico State. His name is
Chris Jans.
My mind. Thank you. Chris Jans doing a terrific job. He was terrific at New Mexico State. A lot of people questioned the hire. I think he's a terrific person and a terrific coach. Not really much on the out-of-conference schedule. So once they get into conference play and they play Alabama and Auburn and Tennessee and Florida, we'll find out what this team is really made of. But a very nice start by the Bulldogs.
A road game at Minnesota, it is a road game against a Big Ten team. The Drake game, very Drake. Good Drake team.
You're right. You're
and
right.
Don't forget, they do have their Big 12 game against TCU coming up at the end of January. So
correct.
A couple chances, but not as many as a team should have. I agree with you there. Auburn Salika got a nice win over St. Louis on Sunday.
It was not a 40-minute effort out of Auburn. St. Louis did have something to do with that right there. It was a bit of a revenge game in that St. Louis did actually win the first end of that home-and-home last year, and thanks to Janai Broome, Auburn was able to return the favor this time around.
And Griggs, we can't forget that Tennessee did win the battle for Atlantis this week, jumping back from that Colorado loss.
Right, and I'm starting to think the Colorado game was more of an anomaly because they really looked good down in Atlantis, and that was a bit of a loaded field. Maybe not as loaded as Maui or the Phil Knight Legacy Invitational Classic thingy that they got going on out there, but a really good field, and they just look good. I hate to use the term eye test because I just think that's what you say when you have no other argument, but they did. They looked good when you watched them down in, was it Orlando?
Battle for
Atlantis. Atlantis. Yeah, down in the Bahamas. Okay. Yeah. There were so many that I can't keep track.
We've also got Arkansas, who right now has actually struggled with Troy this evening, but looks like they're going to pull away and win this game. It's been going on as we record this. There's the rest of that upcoming schedule. Dorman, we've got Bellarmine at Kentucky coming up tomorrow night. I know you're circling that one, but You know, anything else you are circling here?
You say that, I know, is a joke, but Bellarmine is the definition of how you should play college basketball. If you want to watch this game, the way they move without the ball, the back cuts, the passing, the shot picks, it's basketball at its finest. Will they beat Kentucky? Probably not, but they play a fantastic brand of basketball. Some of the games I'm really looking forward to, that Kentucky-Michigan game will be exciting. I wish it was at one of these campuses with the kids on the in the stadium. I don't know how much atmosphere there'll be in like London with
none. If England is playing during that game, none.
Yeah, and in fact, it would be a great game in the States. But this SEC is really strong to me, and I didn't think Missouri and Mississippi State were going to come out this strong. I see a lot of real good teams in this conference.
Yeah, I agree with you. Let's jump over, Tytel, to the West Coast Conference. And it's almost strange to see Gonzaga with a couple of losses at this point in the season. Is there anything wrong with Gonzaga, especially because I just don't think they look very good in the losses at all?
Yes, what's wrong is their schedule maker, because they've played Michigan State, Texas, Kentucky, Purdue, and Xavier. And coming up Friday night, a little team called Baylor, It's just too much. I mean, it's their built-in excuse. And the fact that they're 5-2 with that incredible schedule speaks to how good the program is. But it's just too much good, talented teams that they're playing against.
I agree with you, Tytel, but their guard play is not as great as it has been in the years past. I know it's Gonzaga. I agree with you. The schedule is ridiculous and out of this world. No one would play this besides Tom Izzo. But I just think their guard play isn't what it usually is.
I kind of like that they scheduled this way, because I think that, like, the way they look at it is that I think they're just more or less sharpening their knives more so than just trying to schedule games that they know that they can win. And they've been exposed a little bit, especially on the defensive end.
Yeah, I mean, it was that 84-66 loss to Purdue that was just – I get it was Purdue, but they just got blown out of that building.
Keep in mind, if they're not hot in the final 5 minutes against the Musketeers, they'd be sitting at 4-3. We'd probably have more question marks for the Zags.
Yeah, and I'm not going to psychoanalyze Mark Few. I just know that, like, when teams schedule like this, I think in the long run, it might seem like a big deal now, but I think it kind of fades into the background as the season goes on. And at the end, if they win 26 or 27, which they probably will, what did this schedule really do to harm them? If anything, it might have helped them in the long run.
Salika, is there? I mean, St. Mary's, we've liked, they, you know, just the one loss to Washington. San Francisco, should we look at them? BYU, I've not liked what I've seen them for BYU at all this season. But is there anybody besides the Gales and the Zags?
San Francisco was holding up their end of the bargain. They did have a cross country loss at Davidson. That's certainly excusable right there. But if we're looking for dark horses, Santa Clara, I'd also say Portland, but I want to see what the Pilots do once they leave Rip City right here. Yeah. But granted, they Portland, did have
that 1-point loss to Michigan State. That hurt. That really hurt.
They were in the game with Carolina.
Yeah, they were. They were there for a lot of that game.
They impressed me this week. I know it's not 5-4 is 5-4, but they were impressive to me.
So somebody on this podcast liked them preseason a lot, but I won't mention.
Who is that?
Griggs, how about staying out west with the Mountain West Conference? San Diego State sitting there at 4-2, but a pretty darn impressive 4-2 still.
And really lifting a lot of heavyweight. They had a nice win against Ohio State, and I want to say, who was the other team that they beat out there?
Their losses were Arkansas and Arizona. So they
And I think Arizona beat them up pretty good, but like they were right in the game with Arkansas. The issue is, if you pull them up real quick, Chad, like, are they going to have, it's one of these things that the margin for error is really small when you talk about getting up into the protected seed range, because they're going to just have to do it with.
St. Mary's.
Yeah, they got St. Mary's. They do have chances, but they can't really lose to hardly anybody, because anybody that beats them is probably, while a top 40 team, not a team that's in on the first ballot or wearing white in the round of 64. And that just sort of makes the margin for error real small if you're talking about getting a protected seat. We have Tytel here, who's a committee guessing expert. But what do they have to do? Basically win them all to get a four seat or better?
That would help. I mean, I think that they can still win this conference, and I think that would help. There's a lot of winnable games on that schedule, I think.
Yeah. Oh, I think they'll win the conference, and I think they'll win most of these. I mean, Vegas playing pretty well. I mean, I know most of those have been on their home court. I don't think they have a true road win yet. They got a big one coming up. I forget who it's against. But they're good. Could they make a run at the bubble? Nevada, a really big game.
Well, you're asking about an undefeated team. I don't think you could say any undefeated team can't make a run of the bubble right now. I'd argue that New Mexico could make a run of the bubble right now, too, Tytel. Would you agree with that? You know, they're undefeated.
I do love undefeated teams, so you're kind of throwing a softball my way. But, the St. Mary's game will be a great test. And then in a few weeks, we have Richard Pitino against Rick Pitino when Iona comes to town, and it's going to be very emotional. I asked Coach Pitino about it during the Mountain West media day, and he said that, like, it's a great chance for his team, but he doesn't know how he's going to feel because, like, he spent his life, like,
Oh, he doesn't know how he'll feel. He'll want to win that one more than any of the rest of them.
I'm not sure what big UNLV game you're talking about coming up here, Griggs, unless maybe the San Francisco game on the 17th of December. That's
big relative. I don't think they have any true road wins yet, and the one that was sticking out was San Diego.
Okay.
Thanks for clarifying. That is not a big win, but it does put something on their profile that isn't there right now, and that's a true road win.
So. Okay, I'll give you that. Here's the rest of the upcoming schedule for this week as well in the conference.
Sneaky good game tonight. Sam Houston State, one of the best under the
radar. It's about to tip off. I'm
getting pretty excited. Going to Nevada tonight. That should be a good one.
Undefeated Sam Houston team as well, by the way.
Correct.
If we like undefeated teams. And New Mexico undefeated at St. Mary's tomorrow night. Might want to circle that one also. If we want to look at those undefeated teams. One last conference to look at. Conference that maybe should be relegated down to our under the radar shows because normally in the under the radar shows, we see conferences where nobody gets a single vote in the AP or coaches poll. That's exactly what we have. But Tytel, let me ask you, what's happened to the A-10 this year?
Well, apparently all the talent went to Fordham because Coach Keith Ergo is getting it done. 6-1, only loss at Arkansas, obviously a weak schedule so far. Not sure if they're going to beat Tulane this weekend, but he's got a lot of cupcakes coming after that. So before he opens conference play by hosting Davidson the Wednesday after Christmas, it will be fascinating to see if this team is like 11-2 or something.
This might be, Griggs, the perfect year for Fordham. The rest of the conference is down, and they may have a little bit of something here.
Well,
talk about catching lightning in a bottle.
Oh, man, yeah, and how great of it. I mean, as disappointing as this has been, like, Fordham becoming a national story would more than make up for it.
Salika, I got to ask you, UMass off to a 4-1 start. They only played 5 games. They lost a home game to Towson, but, Angry Frank there off to a 4-1 start.
They've only played one game outside of that Towson loss, as well as the Myrtle Beach tournament right here. I'm not sure what the story on UMass is, at least as far as their layoff right here.
Well, they pick up again tomorrow night at South Florida. So, Dorman, is there anything worth circling on this calendar for this week in the A-10, or should we really consider discussing this conference on Wednesday nights?
We should, for this year at least, discuss it on Wednesday nights. I'm not giving up on St. Louis. The losses are to Maryland and Auburn. Nothing terrible in that. I think still this St. Louis Billiken team is going to be solid. And come March, I think we're going to be hearing from them in the tournament. But it looks like they're going to have to win the conference tournament because they dropped a few of their spots out of conference. But I'm not so sure that St. Louis isn't a very good team.
I'll tell you what, the game I'm going to be watching is going to be coming up Wednesday night, right there, Maine at Fordham.
That's Lee Del Vecchio special right there.
Yes. Lee Del Vecchio. We'll be presenting them an award.
Hey, Maine won at Boston College, so you got to remember that.
That's true.
And if they don't win at Fordham, he's really going to love it.
St. Louis and Southern Illinois, the Salukis do go to St. Louis on Saturday over the weekend. Southern Illinois, to me, is top one or two in the Valley. That should be a good game.
Right. And we also have a couple of Big Five games here with LaSalle Temple, LaSalle Penn. And we also have the St. Bonaventure Buffalo game, a Buffalo Big Four game there, or Western New York Big Four, whatever they call it. So that's another one to kind of circle. But on that note, I'm going to pull the screen share down here and run through each of you for any other final thoughts on what we've seen so far, what's coming up, or anything else you want to discuss at all. Stalika, let me start with you.
If you follow under the radar with any regularity, you know we talk about mythical conferences like the Beehive, the Front Range, and the Back Range. I think we need to do a little bit of a throwback to the old Southwest Conference right here. Look at the top of the polls this week. Houston, Texas, Arkansas, Baylor. And if you're talking about a middle tier like TCU, Texas Tech, it's insane. I mean, the bottom of that conference, well, SMU and Rice.
Yeah, I was about to say, where's Rice? I wanted Rice in my rankings, no?
Good final thought. Wow.
Good throwback, though, at Dorman.
I get a lot of credit to college basketball. I love these Thanksgiving time tournaments. They are fantastic. They should stick around. They should be around. We should try and get more of them. It pits just the top teams getting to play each other. And it's great for the teams and the fans and the country to get to see college basketball at this time. I know a lot of the so-called only half the time fans don't get into it. But junkies like us love it. These tournaments are fantastic. What went on in Portland over the weekend was great. I hope that stays, whether it's his birthday or not next year. But Maui, these things are wonderful. Great out of conference. Great start to the season. And quickly, we get right into some conference play this weekend. So great scheduling.
Yeah, I love to see conference play. And while I don't like these 20-game conference schedules, quite honestly, I do love getting conference play in December. So it's kind of a tough balance here.
I still don't like it.
Okay.
I like conference play in December, but I don't like the bloated conference schedules.
I tell.
I mean, it's not every chance I have the chance to talk about a quadrupler. So I think I'm going to go to Alabama and North Carolina.
Thank you.
I mean, it's a rarity in at all, much less like with two ranked teams and on a neutral site, national TV. I don't know what was more impressive, Caleb Love with 34 points in 58 minutes, or his teammate Pup Johnson with only 10 points, but coming off the bench and playing 48 minutes. Alabama, it's great to see Javon Quinterly. He scored 21. He was injured the first couple of games of the season, dating back to last year. Apparently, his coach has enough trust in him to have him play, a little 44 minutes. Just unbelievable, the stats and the box scores that get put up. And kudos to Alabama for beating the defending national runner-up.
Well, here's a little stat for you on that 4-OT. This was only the second time in history two ranked teams went four overtimes or more. The other one was the Syracuse-UConn 6-OT Big East tournament game. So, second time ever that this had happened game. So a little stat for you there. Griggs, you want to finish the show off? Go ahead, Salika first.
Go ahead, Salika. Yeah.
I was going to say, also kudos to Roxy Bernstein for getting 60 minutes with Bill Walton in that game.
Hey, we got a little sympathy out for that there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Griggs, you want to finish the show off?
I know we don't talk about this much, but I really think that we need to look at college football and try and get the CFP over with by the end of October. Ohio State goes, they win their fifth place game, and it was such an emotional high that the football team could just not focus. Clemson had their event. It obviously affected them. You start to see the impact of college basketball in a negative way on college football, especially nobody really caring. People showed up at that Michigan game to celebrate their big fifth place finish, and we're just disappointed.
Okay. On that note, I do want to take this chance to thank everybody for joining us. On behalf of David Griggs and David Dorman up here, John Titel and John Slika down below, we'll be back Wednesday with Under the Radar. Next week with more Hoops HD report, and check out the website, all kinds of great content. But
check out Stalika's bracket.
Check out we have a bracket that went up today. It is, I didn't even get a chance to look at it yet, but I'm sure it's Great. Absolutely perfect. Yeah. Yes. But on that note, thanks for joining us, everybody. We'll talk to you again real soon.